today's episode is sponsored by our premium Patreon subscribers, Madonna Hines with a Sexy J, Chrissy Dougherty, and Mia Hansen Aloha. Thanks.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about here on Bravo. Well, not here on Bravo, we're not on Bravo, we're just here and talking about Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender podcast. Joining me, as usual, is the lovely, wide-eyed, up-early Ronnie Karam from trashtalktv.com and also Rose Prick's Bachelor podcast, which is making its triumphant return later this month. Hey Ronnie, what's up?
Hey baby,
how's it going?
So good.
Yeah, we had
a fun day.
Yeah, Ronnie and I went down to Sirius XM to go onto Radio Andy, specifically Reality Checked with Amy Phillips, who we love, who's been on this show before, to talk some Bravo.
Many a time.
Yeah, it was super fun. And we met Dan Rather randomly, which was exciting because it was 8 in the morning and we weren't awake yet. And it was like, Dan Rather! So it was an exciting morning for both of us. And on top of that, it's also exciting because we are 1 week out from our live show at the Hollywood Improv with special guest Michelle Collins. Y'all have to get a ticket. You got to do it. Just go to Facebook.
Yeah, come on over.
Facebook.com/watchforcrappens. You'll find a link to buying tickets.
That is going to be so much fun. Yeah. And we have a crazy extra show coming up this week. I don't want to tell you what it is, but it's a surprise, and it should be nutso.
It's going to be nutso. I'm putting it all on Ronnie. I'm letting Ronnie put it all together because it's – I'm like, I can't believe we're doing this in a way – not like a – it's so crazy. It's like a – I mean, like, I can't – I'm like, are we really
it's
doing
gonna
this?
It's going to be a cuckoo day.
It's going to be cuckoo.
And it's going to be fun, and it's going to be the triumphant return of somebody. Mm-hmm. And also, what was the other thing I wanted to say? Also, Katie Cazorla's show, our often guest on this show, is going to be on a new e-show called The Second Wives Club that starts on the 9th. And so we're going to go to the premiere party this week. So it's really a fun Crappens week.
Oh my God, so many obligations this week.
Darling!
Oh my God, I'm going to Palm Springs this weekend and I will need it more than ever between the radio show and this party on Thursday and this podcast and then these extra episode that we're doing. That's going to be so cuckoo and I'm like, oh my God, I'm crumbling before your eyes.
Oh.
But the good news is,
exciting times.
It's very exciting. And the good news is that it's Tuesday, which means that we get to talk about Southern Charm.
Southern Charm. What a show. You know, Southern Charm, we were talking a little bit in the waiting room the green room or whatever at Amy's show. It's like, when did these people become this awful? I mean, there used to be Thomas. Like, Thomas is awful. Whitney, I guess, has always been awful. We do that. Shep didn't used to be awful. I mean, I guess he's not awful, but he's getting there. And Landon is just unbearable. Catherine, we've always been on Catherine's side, even though she's kind of awful. Just because she was up against Thomas, he's even more awful. I don't remember everybody. I don't remember finishing an episode of this and being like, that was gross. And this one was kind of gross.
Yeah, I can see what you mean. You know, I watched it. I was sort of distracted during it, so I feel like my observations may not be as salient as usual. But I'm gonna try to keep up the best I can.
Well, it was awful in a very fun way because this show really is fun.
Yeah.
And I have to say, the music is the music's always been really fun on this show, but it's really upping its game.
Yeah. There was
they have music cues for everything now. They've got like 30 different things that they're going through. I mean, really good ones too.
There was a really good music cue, I think in the Catherine scene that I really enjoyed. When we get to it, I'll be sure to mention it.
So we open, you know, the opening blahs. Thomas is pretending to know, you know, what his children look like.
Yeah.
He's like, come on, Lacey and Marcy and Linus.
Pacey.
Whoever the hell is here, Papa's here putting you in a, well, I mean, what is that, a minivan? I'm not driving that fucking thing. Where's Deborah, Denise, or whatever goddamn
Deirdre. Deirdre, go get in the commoner car and take the children somewhere. I'll be in the front.
Take the quadruplet someplace away from me. She's like, you have two children, and they're not even twins.
So. Why don't you take them to Hula Hoops or Us? They can get one of those cool hula hoops that you roll down a street with a stick. That's what we did in the old times.
Take them to wherever it is that they learn that a margarita should be Herradura Silva, a little lime juice fresh squeezed with little Grand Marnier on top. They need to know how to specifically tell them how to make their drink, or it won't work properly. Ugh, these people.
Afterwards, they can go visit Whitney's uncle, Jerry, at the Blockbuster Vidya. Wow, what a difference. Blockbuster Vidya.
So then we see Landon, who is just like posing on her couch with wine, acting like so fancy, which like no one buys. And then fat ass Chauncey, the dog. Patricia's like, why can't I pick up Chauncey? Michael says, he's 4 pounds overweight, man. She's like, just four.
I was really sad that we did not get to see more Patricia this episode. That was our only shot of Chauncey and Patricia. I was like waiting for a full Patricia scene. I was so sad about that.
Oh,
I love Chauncey.
Yeah, I was kind of sad when they showed her. And of course, it's like a martini first thing in the morning. You know, the glass is chilling with ice.
Yeah, she's back in her
caftan. I thought she was
going
to be back, but she wasn't.
No, instead, the mother that we got was Cameron's mom, because Cameron and her mom show up at this place. This guy that I guess Cameron worked with or used to work with who makes creepy dolls.
Yeah.
And so she goes in there to get not voodoo, but hoodoo dolls because she says that she wants. Well, I thought this was actually a very funny use of words. She's like, this might be hard to believe, but when I was younger, I wanted to be a white witch. I was like, kind of already fulfilled that.
you are white and you're kind of a witch sometimes.
And she's like, white magic is always good. White is used for good. White does good things. I'm like, not on this show. Please just stop saying this. Until you have more black people on this show, you cannot be saying things like this.
White magic is powerful, and black people built it.
Listen, we always use white power for good.
Oh, good. So they're at Larry's house. Larry's like, welcome, Cameron. And it turns out Larry makes scary hoodoo doll things. These dolls, they're these big, scary witch-looking dolls. And in El Paso, where my mother plays canasta, in canasta, if you don't have enough people, they have what they call a tonta. And the tonta is a kind of a witch doll like this that they actually sit at the table and give a hand of cards. And when things don't go right, my mom's friend Nora yells at the tonta. She's like, this is why you're called tonta, isn't it? Stupid tonta. Can't even play the canasta.
Is that a canasta tradition?
You're never playing with me again, tonta. Why always have to play with the tonta?
Is that a canasta tradition that you have a tonta?
Not always, but if you're short somebody, you know, if you have a certain amount of players, you play in pairs across from each other, so someone has to team up with tonta.
How do you play with tonta?
I don't know. You play her cards, I guess. She gets her own thing, and then I guess the partner goes over and will play her cards. And Tonta is stupid, you know.
Of course, because like, Tonta's not alive.
Yes, so listening to Nora be like, "I Tonta, stupid Tonta. Isn't it, Ronda? This is not fair. How come I always get stuck with the Tonta?" It's like, because we like watching you yell at it for two
this
hours.
Is the funniest. You always have a crazy story, but this is one of the funniest of all time. The Tonta. I'm just imagining this like doll there, and they're just like yelling at Tonta.
Yeah, so my mom's like, fucking Tonta.
Tonta, you trumped.
That's what these dolls look like. So supposedly this one isn't good at cards either. This one is for helping people. you know, they'll bring positive energy to someone's life. For example, someone who needs to find a good woman to settle down with.
If I ever have to rely on Tanta to set me up or set someone else up, I know I've hit a low point in my life.
God, Ben, if you ever come to me, okay, let me not phrase it that way because I would never not be your friend. But if I came to you and said, Ben, you've been single for a while. So it's like years in the future, obviously, if you were single. Like, Ben, you've been single for a while. How about I hook you up with my whore friend who's had sex with everybody in town and probably has every disease? He's like a Petri dish. Okay, have fun. Why don't you like him, Ben? Why don't you like him? Please don't be my friend anymore. Just dump me.
And here, I know you don't seem to be that this relationship is having a hard time getting off the ground. Here's Tanta to fix everything for you. Here, I know what's going to make you attracted to Shep. This creepy doll.
Even Tanta's going to be like, I'm not dating that fucking fool. What a whore.
I'm not partnering up with him.
He talk about someone who don't know how to play his cards.
Yeah. Get me on a bridge. Get me to the Ravenna Bridge to Nowhere.
So next up, Shep and Austin. They're having like shooting hoops with the bros, bro.
Yeah. They're like shooting hoop and it's like playing basketball.
And Austin's making like so many weird mouth gestures. I don't know what is happening. I don't know if his gums are dry. If his teeth feel like they're falling out, I don't know what he's doing, but he's always doing this with his mouth. It's the weirdest fucking thing I've ever seen. He's doing that, and Shep shows up in khakis and no socks with sneakers. And Austin goes, "What's up with the khakis, bro?"
Yeah.
And Shep's like, "I don't have work with jogging shorts, but I'm a country club all-star. Gosh.
Why can't I play basketball in khakis? Gosh."
So Austin's like, how was the party? And Shep goes, I took a little filly home.
This is why he needs Tanta. Or what was it? Mama Estella?
I'm just sticking with Tanta. Fuck Mama Estella. That's Tanta right there.
Listen, if you're playing khakis, if you're playing basketball with khakis, you need Tanta just for that. Let's not even get to the love part. Let's get to playing basketball in khakis.
Tonta's like, I would never wear khakis. No,
Tonta's like, I'm not playing horse with him. Tonta's like, what's next? You're gonna wear black soled shoes on the court? Tonta loves a game of pickup.
So they play, I think they shoot three times. And then, Shep, it's like 2-1 or something, and Shep is winded.
Gosh. He's really winded. They've played for all of like 1 minute and he's already garshed out. So they
Austin's
sit down.
Like, is this what you're like with sex, brah? He's like, no, sex never lasts 10 minutes. Garsh, just kidding.
So they sit down so Shep can catch his breath so he doesn't faint on the mean streets of Charleston. And so then they start talking about Chelsea because Shep has heard that Austin took Chelsea home and he's like, knowledge is power. Gosh.
And power is being a country club champion. Gosh. So he's like, yeah, well, yes. We're hanging out and we're planning to do things together. So, yeah, definitely, you know, I guess hanging out. Shep goes, well, I was, like, talking to her the same way you were, so you should, like, text me for permission. And in the future, I'd appreciate it if you check with me first.
What? You know, in the future, gosh, I think you need a permission slip if you're going to go talk to Chelsea. Gosh.
What the fuck? And Austin's like, yeah, no. And he goes, well, what are your intentions with this girl? Because I talked to her first. And he's like, well, I like her company. And Shep goes, well, I like her company too. She's probably a little older than you, huh? Robin the Cradle. She's like Demi Moore and you're Ashton and Austin, which I really appreciated Austin in this moment. He goes, what does that make you, Bruce Willis? Like, yes, bitch. Yes, Austin. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Shep, if you really wanted Chelsea, you should have made more of a move. You know, you should have asked her out on a date.
Her. Like, he doesn't even want her. He just went and fucked somebody last night.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I mean, but he was saying that he liked her earlier in the season. But again, if you like her, you gotta see it through.
Yeah. Yeah, no effort.
This is what happens every season. There's some girl that he likes. He's like, gosh. And then she's like, and he doesn't really make a good effort, or if he does, it's sort of jokey, and then they're like, fuck this guy, and they just move on.
I have no patience for him. And I cannot, speaking of Cameron being terrible by just spreading his disease all over the place, what the fuck is up with Bravo giving him his own bachelor show? So yeah, relationship Garsh is going to be him traveling all over America to date different women.
That's like, so stupid. What a stupid idea for a show. And I love Shep, but that's a stupid idea for a show because it's not real. It's like that's going to be a whole bunch of overly produced scenes of him. He'll be like, gosh, look at me. I'm like with a black person in Detroit now. Isn't this crazy? Gosh, different world. And it'll be like, gosh, it's a girl in Colorado. We're riding horses. This is crazy. She's like a real farm girl. Gosh.
Someone pointed out in the comments last week a really good point. You were saying he's got game. In the last episode, we were fighting about whether arguing whether or not Shep has game. And you're like, he has game. And someone put, yeah, he has game in that town. But don't you remember when he went to L.A. and he just kept getting shot down? I totally forgot about that. Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah. No,
he's like,
of
course. What's your favorite thing to get at the country club? Personally, I like club sandwiches because it's at a club. Where are you going? Where's you? Gosh, people in L.A. are kind of rude, huh? Gosh.
Gosh. Gosh.
So next up, Catherine and her Kia or whatever.
Oh, I thought it was Whitney and Thomas going to lunch.
Oh, you're right. I scrolled too far, girl. Scrolled too far. Sorry about that.
So Whitney and Thomas go to lunch, and Thomas has lost his mojo. He's like, I feel like I've lost my mojo. I used to have this pair of pants, and I put them on, and I could get every girl in the room to look away from me in my pants. But now, they just look away because they see my face. It's not the same. I feel like I lost my touch, Whitney.
He's like, Whitney's like, bro, you're Thomas, bro. Mother. And that I could wear a pair of pants and own a place. It's like, I guess... You know, when you've got balls down to your knees and you're showing them off, after 50, that's not attractive anymore. You know, it's like every girl looks at that and they're like, do I want to have to helicopter that thing for an hour?
Yeah.
Every night? No.
And Whitney's like, bro, you get laid more than most 20-year-old guys. Like, you are like, you get pussy. You put your penis in pussy, bro. Because I'm a bro. I talk about penis. Renob, you know, am I right, bro? Let's get some PBRs, hipster Jumbo's Clown Room, right, bro? Bro, we're such bros, bro.
Well, I just realized that Renob is boner backwards. Damn, I'm getting old, bro. Yeah.
So, I believe Whitney here starts suggesting Landon as a potential.
Yeah, well, Thomas says, I have too much baggage. And Whitney's like, well, what do you mean baggage, man? And he's like, well, you know, my conviction. And then they show Danny, him trying to hit on Danny. And she's like, well, there is your conviction. Okay, first of all, you're like 30 years older than Danny.
Yes.
So let's stop pretending that your conviction is everything. You also have two new children out of wedlock with a woman that you're trying to cut off forever that you possibly tricked into doing coke before a drug test last year.
Yeah, Thomas, so... it's bad. It's bad that here's what's really the problem, that your conviction for selling cocaine when you were in a high profile elected office is the least of your problems. That's bad. That should be, you know, not the game changer. That should be the seals. That should seal the deal. But no, that's actually the best of your problems.
Yeah, because at least people would know they can get coke from you. You know, I mean, that's actually a plus, Thomas. It's like your whole personality that's wrong here. And Whitney goes, well, if you have baggage, bro, and you have overhead baggage, and it doesn't fit in the bin, so you just check it outside. Which is saying, like, just shuck Catherine. It's like, ugh. after this episode.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I have my conviction, which some would say it's an asset because I believe in things. So whenever I have to, if I have to tell a girl I've been convicted, I usually explain it's because I have strong beliefs and I've been convicted of certain thoughts. I don't.
The women of today just don't appreciate a man of his convictions. Stupid.
Women of today don't seem to appreciate a controller who just has certain political convictions. I don't understand it. But Landon seems nice. She's got some nice crow's nest, crow feet things on her cheeks to make it look civilized. I like it.
He's like, well, I get nervous around her, you know, but I need to find someone. I mean, isn't that romantic? When a man's like, God damn it, I'm desperate and I can't get laid anymore. I guess I'll...
She is very OC, our class. I get nervous around her, but that also might be the cocaine I always snort right before I see her.
It's like, that's not nerves, it's a bloody nose. So Whitney's like, you can't go through life guessing, bro, give her a chance. Did we mention that Thomas was an hour late and made poor Whitney sit there in that wig and those eyebrows? Oh, poor Whitney. I mean, this season is actually making me feel for Whitney. That's how terrible everybody else is.
Yeah. So, it's time for a Catherine scene. So, Catherine...
Is this where you like the music?
Yeah.
The music was crazy different in the scene.
Well, because the music was... Because basically, I think, was it Catherine driving around? Yeah, Catherine was driving around and was like, I'm in the neighborhood. Like, can we get lunch? And she's like, well, I'm downtown, so if you want to meet me, I can meet you an hour downtown. So, they get there, and I think it was here when the music's like, burr, 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 and then it, like, the camera settles on Catherine's like, burr, 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 burr.
It was playing the normal, like, bah, 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 but it was this weird affected horn. It was like, bah, 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 bah.
It was, like, it menacing, was and, like, it
sad.
Was, like,
yeah.
It was, like, cliffhanger music. Cliffhanger menacing music, but not really. It was sort of like funny menacing, like brah, brah, brah.
So Jen's like, well, I haven't heard from you in ages.
Jennifer Snowden, we should mention.
Yeah, Snowden. And Catherine's like, well, I've been busy with a lot of things, I don't know. And she's like, well, we haven't spoken for 6 or 7 months. And Catherine tells us, the last time all this group was together, there were exchanges between her and Thomas that were unsettling. And then we see the clip of the reunion where Tom's like, well, Snowden is a nice girl. She's a good person. And then Catherine getting mad that he said that.
Yeah.
God, well, Catherine, really, I know that you've got an addled brain at the moment, but let's not forget you were the one who dumped Snowden.
Yeah.
Because Thomas, who you didn't even like and were fighting with all the time and was trying to take custody even then, told you he didn't like her. So you just stopped talking to her after she supported you through all that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, are you just forgetting all that?
Yeah, exactly. And Thomas basically went after Snowden for no good reason. Basically, he said that Snowden was the one putting all these bad thoughts in Catherine's brain. She's like, okay. And so, yeah, she totally dumped Snowden. And now she's acting like something weird had happened. I don't know. Catherine's got to just get over it.
She's
she should get her allies
asshole.
Where she can.
She's such an asshole. And she says she knew firsthand what he said and did to me and also to her. And then it shows Thomas being like, you damn slut or whatever to Snowden when he was yelling at her at that party. And she's like cowering away, which was disgusting. Which add that into your baggage, Thomas. That was on national TV, you ass. And so she's going to yell at Jen, who's just had a baby who had to have brain surgery straight out the womb. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah.
Christ.
And so, and Catherine, I think she asks Snowden like a perfunctory question about the baby or something. But Snowden starts talking, and then she just like loses it. And she's like, I mean, understandably so. But she just really loses it. I mean, it was a little strange to me that she was losing it so much as opposed to when Cameron visited her and she's like, yeah, you know, he had to have some surgery, but he's okay now. But then with Catherine, she was really bawling, and I couldn't help but wonder if maybe there was, like, some sort of emotional manipulation going on. But Catherine's just sitting there like,
Oh, God. Well, do you want to go to lunch? I mean, do you want to do the lunch part right now? Because really all that happened, I mean, we can talk about the Craig thing after if you want. Let's just go to the lunch because I want to talk about
it. Oh, wait, this is not the lunch moment?
This was just on the way to lunch.
Oh, Jesus.
This was just the phone.
I thought this was all, this is everything there was, I thought we were at the lunch scene.
Well, let's go there. Because that's when they got there and the horn went,
yeah, that's what I thought. I thought we were at the lunch scene. Sorry.
It's like, what's so scary about this lunch menu? It's like,
this is what happens when I don't take notes. See, I should have rewatched it again and taken notes. So silly.
No, it's all good. I knew what you were skipping to. Whatever. Who cares? We're at lunch. Okay, so they hug, and Jen's like, I was excited to hear from you, as always. And Catherine's just like, giving that like dirty look around to the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And Jen goes, okay, well, I'll start.
Yeah.
I'm not really clear what I did to hurt you. And she goes, well, when I saw you last was in New York.
Which I love is that that's how they have to say it, as like their veiled reference to the reunion. When we were in New York.
And I was in that saloon hooker negligee
when
thing.
I was wearing my bordello dress. And you didn't even say how good my costume jewelry looked when it was vintage. I don't know why I'm talking like that for Catherine.
She's like, in New York, you had made up with Thomas. Okay, that's what she did. Yeah. Because Thomas, when she was crying, Thomas said she's a good person who gave her a handkerchief.
Yeah, and that's so what that's what Snowden was like. All he did was give me a handkerchief.
I would rather it had come from you and you give me a handkerchief because, you know, I could have used a hug from you.
Yeah.
And she goes, yes, but you know how he is and he doesn't apologize. And she goes, does she think that was sincere? He forbid me from being friends with her. And what's important to her, having people who give you support or social climbing? What?
Yeah.
She was the one who was giving you support. You don't even know anything about her. You never even called her one goddamn time when she was pregnant. She listened to your ass for days. She went to bat for you.
Yeah. Seriously.
Alone. Against all those people who were sticking up for Thomas. She was the only one who stuck up for Catherine.
I mean, admittedly, she's probably doing it to get a slot on the show, so she is a social climber. But what do you think Catherine is also?
Catherine showed up to a pool party and got fucking pregnant to get on this show. So I don't want to hear it from this bitch.
Yeah, seriously. So, yeah, so basically Jennifer is just like, I don't understand where we went wrong. And Catherine's just sort of just like ice cold. And it's just cruel. It was cruel that this woman, especially when Jennifer starts talking about the baby and just like bawling, as I was mentioning before, anachronistically. And Catherine just sitting there being like, you know, if Catherine were the one bawling, she'd be like, she just stood there and didn't even try to like hug me. You know, she would have had a chip on her shoulder.
Oh, this was just so painful to watch because Jen's saying,
I was pregnant with a baby that could have lived or died and I needed support.
And Catherine's like, I can't even. Like she says that to her and starts shaking her head. And Jen's like, I'm really trying to understand what's going on here. And she's like, you're not even listening to me. She goes, I am, but I'm also trying to defend myself. And then Catherine says, she will own up, and I just need genuine, honest people in my life. And then Jen's sobbing, and Catherine is rolling her eyes and looking around and sighing and shrugging. Oh, my God. And then Jennifer goes, do you want to know about my son? Do you want to know? And she's like, well, I'm waiting for you to be comfortable to tell me. And she goes, the day he was born, he had an emergency brain surgery. I thought he was gonna die. And Catherine's like, well, I'm glad to hear he's okay now, though.
I have an Amazon Prime package coming, so I'll just leave you here. Thanks for getting lunch.
Oh my God. And so Jen's like, I miss you as a friend, and I don't even know what I did. And Catherine's like, well, she goes, you know, don't talk about that when we're talking about your son. Focus on what's important. What a bitch, man. Yeah, this girl is terrible.
It was
terrible.
Super, super cold. So why don't we rewind a second and talk about Craig at home. Speaking about Amazon Prime, when we get a close-up of an Amazon Prime box. And I was like, wait a second. But
or
this
10.
I was like, this is not a Catherine scene. I don't understand what's happening. But it was actually Craig receiving a sewing machine.
I thought, is Craig fucking Thomas too? It's like you can tell he's fucking Thomas because they got 10 Amazon Prime boxes outside their house.
Yeah. Like, is Craig getting a see-through crib?
Craig's opening cat food and he spills it and then he goes, that never happened before. Okay. Okay, Craig. We're all on your side, buddy.
Yeah.
So he's like, this might seem crazy to you, but I've loved sewing since 8th grade home ec class. Sweet.
I wonder why his jock family beat him up all the time. I wonder where he got that sense of like he just doesn't fit in and he's just trying to be cooler than what he is. I wonder where that came from.
I wasn't really playing baseball. I was just trying to understand the stitches.
I just would study the stitches on the baseball all day long. It's like a herringbone. Isn't that cool? What's a herring anyway?
So he calls Naomi and he's like, what are you doing, babe? She's like, studying. What are you doing? He's like, I got news. I got something today.
He's like, I got news.
A job?
I have a brother. Really? You found a brother? No, like a brother sewing machine.
Craig, you know those can beat you up too, right? I'm not going to put a finger in it. God, Naomi.
No, it's like really important because I'm going to be on Project Runway, you know, after I got my degree from FIT. Craig, you didn't get a degree from FIT. Well, I just wanted you to love me more.
I did subscribe you to Fit magazine. Craig, you can't just go doing things like that.
I thought if I have a Fitbit, that counts. It's like Fashion Institute of Technology and Broccoli Institute of Technology, because I love broccoli and I love making it for rom-com dinner, you know?
He's like, I decided to write an episode of Lilo and Stitch. TV writer.
So I started releasing a podcast on Stitcher because, like, that's what I'm all about, stitching. So, like, I thought you'd be proud of me, Naomi.
I've started taking stand-up comedy class. I want to leave people in stitches. Naomi's like, you know you sound like a crazy person, right? And he's like, okay. She goes, I gotta work, so I'll see you later. And he's like, haters gonna hate.
She'll never understand what I can do with embroidery. You know what? Like, I'm really concerned about 9. That's why I got into sewing, because I heard a stitch in time saves 9. I don't know who 9 is, but it needs to be saved. Someone's got to do it. Is it like a superhero? 9. My gosh, Stranger Things, is that like not? Oh, it's 11?
It's like a really terrible movie musical. It's like, but I did get to meet Fergie, so...
I met Fergie, which is awesome. I mean, I thought I was going to meet, like, I didn't know who Fergie was, but I met her. I thought I was just going to get some beans, but it turns out Black Eyed Peas are an actual, like, singing group.
Did you know she knows Diana? She's dead.
I'm like, that's so crazy. I thought Diana Ross was alive, but I guess not, you know.
I'm going to go to Ross. Get a job there. I decided to buy a Ross.
Yeah, they got dresses for less.
So Shep is calling the woman in his life, his mom. And
gosh,
he's like,
Mom.
Marsh, Mom, I played basketball today. I shot some hoops with my friend. Yeah, I won. Yeah, I won real good. Congrats. Congrats, Shep.
Congrats on your 3-point pickup game where you won 2-1. That was great.
It's like, I think you should tell Dad this because he'll think it's really funny, Garsh. I'm going to the doctor.
Yeah, he basically tells his parents he's going to the doctor, and they're like, okay, well, that's good. We're in the Hamptons, so next time call us when you have some more important news. This is really nothing special. Thanks, bye.
No kidding. Did the Capital One run out? Yeah. Okay, then please hit your limit before you call us again. Thanks.
We're going to go tour that... that windmill we saw on Ina Garten.
So Landon and Austin are at lunch together, and yes. Landon is just fucking
God.
Obnoxious.
This is
as
awful.
Ever.
This was truly Landon's worst moment in my book. Because
I mean,
they're ordering food. She's like, I love the this and that. And she's ordering all this stuff. And then she's like, oh, I sort of like coming here because I don't like to tell people what I do because I don't want them to know. Is this like for Rome? Is this restaurant Rome worthy? I'm like, please.
I don't know if it's Rome worthy.
She's acting like she's freaking, you know, Ruth Reichel over here. Okay, guess what, bitch? Like, no one cares about what you think about a restaurant for your website that exists only on paper. It still is not even up. It's not even.
Congratulations on learning how to install WordPress. Okay, bitch.
Congratulations on like breaking new ground in food blogging. You're the first one ever to do that, especially in Charleston. Oh, by the way, did you see there was a whole season of Top Chef that happened in your city? Yeah.
Is it Rome worthy? So even when the waitress comes over and the waitress is like, hi, y'all, how are you? It's like she acts like the waitress is being nice to her because she knows who she is. Nobody cares, Landon. Okay.
Yeah.
Even Austin's like, you know, she's nice, but I think this is just her excuse to get meals and alcohol and have investors pay.
Basically. Which is what my excuse was when I started doing food blogging. I was like, I just want to get a free meal. But Landon's acting as if she's some sort of investigative reporter, like trying to ask pointed questions. Come on.
It's like John Stossel.
Yeah. John Quixote. Find out everything. What would you do? What would you do if a food critic came into your restaurant?
Fucking obnoxious, this woman. So they start talking about what they're up to. And he's like, well, you know, I'm hanging out with you, Louie. And she's like, oh, stunning. he's like, well, yeah, I told Shep, and Shep thought, you know, I was stepping on his toes and I broke the bro code. And she's like, oh, that's so Shep, because I tried to send him up a year ago and he wasn't interested until you were. That's so Shep.
And then they're just like talking about Chelsea, talking about Shep, and then
she goes in
Husband, they have a thing that it's not your girl, it's just your turn.
And he goes, yeah, that's what they say in Vail too. And she goes,
oh, I hate Vail. Vail's just like a stop on the side of the road.
It's fucking asshole.
So obnoxious.
Really is.
Yeah.
And she's so, like,
well, are you guys going to go to Aspen?
And he's like, maybe Vail. And she's like,
yeah. And then she starts saying how you don't really get to know someone until you travel with them, etc. Like, you know, she's like, the last three guys I was with, it like broke up because we went traveling.
Because your suitcase kept trying to lock itself to their wallets.
How far did you travel down the block before they were like, fuck this bitch?
And then he's like, well, how are things going with this guy Drew you're dating? And she's like,
I mean, he's told me he's never been to New York.
Like, how can the editor of Rome be with a guy who's never been to New York?
I mean, there's a park there.
He's like, Central Park. Oh, she's so obnoxious. So he's like, yeah, you're a cougar because you're 9 years older. And she's like, oh, I'm offended, but it's also true. Oh, I have never hated Landon. I've always, like, she's obnoxious, yeah, but this was the first time I was like, this woman deserves the hate she gets from all these people. I can see why we got that letter to Crappins, like that behind the scenes letter from someone on set who's like, the most hated person is Landon. And this was at the beginning of last season. I couldn't believe it. I was like, really? Even with Catherine there? She's like, yeah, I mean, Catherine chain smokes and is like a total terrorist, but she's not mean to people. Landon is, she treats everybody like shit. And now I can see that side of her. Gross.
Yeah, I think for when she did the whole thing about like, yeah, I don't like to say why I'm really here because I want to find out if a place is Rome worthy. I'm like, God. That's when I turn. I'm like, Rome worthy? How dare you? What is Rome worthy? Like a crumb? I don't get it.
Rome wasn't built in a day.
You know, I think I have an idea of what's Rome worthy, Ronnie. And I'll tell you what it is. It's HelloFresh.
Talk about roaming. HelloFresh will roam right to your house with a box of fresh, delicious meals for you to prepare at your home.
Yeah, it's one of those box things, you know, where it comes with ingredients and recipes, and you know, it's like, it makes life easier. And it's actually really cool. Ryan and I have both used HelloFresh, and honestly, I've mentioned it before, but I still will always reiterate it, that it like really affected my cooking. Not only did I like unlock the secrets of a pork chop, but I made honestly some of the best cheeseburgers I've ever made from their recipe, and it's like I've now replicated it many, many times.
Yeah, the box comes in like kind of, it comes with all these cooler things to keep everything cold.
It's kind of crazy,
and everything's
actually
portioned out, and it's a bunch of ingredients you're not going to buy when you go to the store. It's not that they're so crazy, but you're not going to buy all of these things at one time in 1 week to make all these delicious meals. They're portioned out. Everything is color-coded, so you know exactly what it is. The recipes are there for you, also color-coded. It couldn't be simpler, and the food is delicious.
It really, really is. So basically, here's what you need to know. HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient.
It sure does. Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices to seasoned home cooks short on time.
HelloFresh sources the freshest ingredients measured to the exact quantities needed, so there's no food waste.
Employ a full-time registered dietitian on staff who reviews each recipe to ensure it is nutritionally balanced.
And it's all delivered to your doorstep in a special insulated box for free. It's like so Rome-worthy.
Yes, and our listeners get $30 off your first week of deliveries. Do it. We do it.
Yeah.
We love it. Go to HelloFresh.com and enter promo code Crappins30.
Yes, that's HelloFresh.com, Crappins30. And by the way, I've actually now had several friends sign up for it, and they are all absolutely loving it. So, like, don't be left out of the HelloFresh revolution, okay?
Yeah, so don't be going out to pay for meals. That's stupid. Cook a beautiful home-cooked meal at home quickly, and it's delicious.
Yeah, Crappins30 is their promo code. Use it, use it, use it.
So Thomas awkwardly calls Landon for a date. So it's like, and then they start doing this weird tour of Thomas's house like we've never seen it. They're like, look, a light switch.
Do we have a table. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I got confused because I thought the next scene was Cameron with a witch doll again.
Oh my God, what is wrong with me? I have the notes laid out and I just keep scroll. I think Landon, I'm just like, make it stop. And so I keep scrolling or something. Sorry.
Yeah, no. So Cameron is like sitting on her couch in her like beautiful home, and Mama Estella, aka Tanta, is sitting on a pillow next to her. And she's calling about a listing because last episode Craig had said that he wants to get into real estate because he wants to flip some houses. So she calls Craig up to be like, Craig, I found a house, but it's like under contract. And he's like, wow. So like, I'm kind of like sewing something right now. Like, can I sell my offer? Like, is escrow something I can sew into embroidery? Do you think they'd accept an offer in that?
I want a house that I could sew the roof on myself. Do you think that's possible? Like, Craig? She's like, if you're gonna buy this house, you're gonna have to do it immediately. He's like, get it done in a stitch.
All right, I just have to finish this needlepoint first. It might take a few days. So if the house is still available, then I'll know it's like a real thing. Just like step and release, etc.
If I finish embroidering Home Sweet Home, then it'll be a sign that the house is ready for me. Right now, I'm on home.
Oh God, I misspelled it. I gotta start over.
I'm gonna start over. Can I call you back?
Yeah, it's getting serious over here.
So
did you notice, by the way, today that when we were at SiriusXM, that when we took the picture from the step and repeat, when I said step and release, the hot guy laughed really loudly.
Do you think he watches these shows?
No, I don't know, because I said step and repeat, or step and release, and then he was like, ha. I was like, oh, wow, the hot guy liked that. I wasn't even aiming at her. I wasn't trying to, like,
he's on my same page.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
So she's telling him, like, if you want to buy this income property, Craig, you're going to have to do it really fast because things in that price range go fast. And he's like, You know what, Cam? It's cool because, like, I was up really late last night running numbers on it when I got home. So, like, you know, yeah, I did, like, algebra and, like, division.
And, like, long division. And, like, did you know that, like, division? I mean, I know that, like, long division's long, but, like, I've been dividing 1 by 3 for, like, 5 hours now, and it's still just 3. Like, when does it end?
I put Mount Pleasant through pi and then learned how to make pies. You want to come over for one?
I had math on the brain because I was like looking at Nomi's diameter and I was like, wow, that's really cool. It's like a circle that you put in. It's like, that's a diaphragm, not a diameter. And
speaking of, that's where I'm going to start singing from when I start my opera career. It's like, oh, Jesus, Greg.
I've already sewed my tuxedo I'm going to wear to the opera. It's got, oh no, I sewed a third sleeve into it. I got to call you back. My algebra was wrong.
So she tells him, Craig, you have to concentrate. You have to do this fast. You can't just be impulsive. You have the bar coming up. And he's like, it's just a transfer of ownership. And then the tenants go in and I just sit back and collect a check. Oh, Craig.
It's called being a slumlord. Congratulations.
Oh, Craig. So now Thomas awkwardly calls Landon for a date.
Yes.
And they're like, look, it's a light switch in Thomas's house. A table. Like, we've seen it. Okay. Yeah. And he's pouring himself like the 10th whiskey for the day.
Yeah.
In his white jeans.
It's like
still not been washed.
It is like a full on pint glass of Knob Creek with like a dash of Coke. I gotta get my mother's milk in for today.
I gotta listen to my possible future chain Ramanick. So I'm gonna need some drinking up, boys. Knob Creek, fill me with your spirit, boy. So
so he calls Landon. Her.
He's like, hey, Landon, cool. What's up? This is Thomas, cool. Brother,
cool,
brother,
cool.
Hang ten. Am I right? Whoop, whoop, as the kids say.
So I was thinking that we could maybe hang out tomorrow night, and you could look at me in my khakis, and we can talk about architecture, all that, you know, our class kind of stuff. Maybe make fun of Eliza Limehouse and her poor ways. Find a black person.
Maybe we can go over that game where the Limehouse family got slaughtered, and then we went on that boat for that youngin's birthday and passed the drawbridge that the Limehouses slapped their name onto like a bunch of losers. She's like,
I'm going to fish tomorrow with my friends. It's a concert.
It's like, oh, I know what fish is. Please, I love fish. Little
I love a halibut.
Fish in the bag.
you can go see a halibut concert. That how's that work? They sing. They put a microphone in the fish tank. How's that? Is it an underwater microphone? Is it like sauna sounds that dolphins make, like sonograms? You're going to get pregnant? You get a pregnant halibut?
Yep, those halibut are great singers. Tommy, and I'll meet you there.
You know what singer I really like is a flounder. You want to see a flounder concert? I'll look into that, see if anyone's playing nearby.
So she says,
I guess I'm busy. Maybe lunch sometime. Maybe we can go to lunch. And he goes, cool.
Lunch,
cool.
Fantastic. Cool. Brother. I'm trying to think of old, young things. He's like hitting a jukebox like the
yeah,
bomb.
He's like,
it works now. Look at that.
Daddy-o. All right. Well, I'll see you at the soda jerk, and I'll see you there. He's like, well, I've been put in the friend zone. I'm like, you're in the old man zone.
He's like, I just got Laverne'd, put in the friend zone by Shirley. Such an idiot.
I thought you were talking about Laverne on Empty Nest. Well, I've been Laverne'd. I'm now taking appointments for Dr. Harrow Weston, which is crazy. Ravenel should not be working behind a desk for a doctor.
I don't need an empty nest. I need a full nest.
I made a dreadful mistake. I thought I'd be investing in the Dreyfus Fund. Instead, I actually just got Dreyfus the dog.
Another piece of baggage. Fortunately, women won't like me much. Guess I'll call Landon again.
They they told me to man up, and I accidentally thought they said man off, so I got a date with Donna Manoff now. From Empty Nest, great actress, Grease.
Nothing a pair of white jeans can't solve.
I was really hoping for Krista McNichol, but, you know, I hear she's a lesbian, so you can only do so much.
Oh, so Shep heads over to the doctor.
Yes.
And it's like a montage of partying with, like, the fake 20-year-olds that they were throwing in there to pretend to, like, flirt with him and then dump him. And I just love that because I like when he goes, buttery nipples. I love buttery nipples. Gosh. Every man on this show is so sad.
Hmm. Yeah, so Shep goes in, and the nurse is basically like, How many drinks do you drink when you drink? And he's like, gosh, like 3, 4, 8, 10. Do shots count? 14, 16. Gosh. Do butter nipples count? Oh, 20. Gosh.
It's the same rule when you tell your doctor how many drinks you have that you use to say how many people you slept with. You add them up and then you divide by 2 and subtract 10. Gosh.
Gosh.
Ugh.
So,
you know, I don't know. Like, why go on about what a whore he is? I just don't get why people think that's attractive. Like, yeah. I fucked 20,000 people. It doesn't make you cute. It makes you sad, dude. It makes you sad. Man, sad. So, yeah, this he's just getting ready to go on relationship. And, you know, the only men apparently in the South who settle down are the ones who are just beaten into the ground by age.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have to out of desperation. So he's going to go, you know, grab a piece of luggage that he'll be dragging around for the rest of his life. Good luck with that, buddy.
This was all anticlimactic because I thought the doctor was going to, like, have some devastating news, but it was just like, all right, well, let's take some, let's, okay, breathe in, breathe out. Is your liver hurt? No. Okay, well, don't drink for a week. He's like, gosh, all right, I'll take some panels. Bye. And I was like, wait, we don't even get to see what's wrong with him? I mean, we know what's wrong with him, but...
Well, he did say it was Thomas's doctor, so I guess this guy's not going to tell people to go work out. Thomas is still walking around in those skin-tight white jeans, like with his muffin top hanging over it from a year ago, posing in front of the mirror like he's goddamn Michael. Fool.
So then we go on to Landon and Thomas. So they sit. They're at this, like, outdoor. They're at a restaurant. It's
in a swamp somewhere, basically.
Well, it's funny.
Is this realm worthy?
Well, it's funny because he's like, this is beautiful. And I was watching it with Michelle, and she's like, it's a swamp. They're literally on a swamp.
So the waitress comes over, and she's like,
Do you have silver Patron?
And she goes, no, we have whatever. And she goes,
Is that clear, though? What kind of margarita mix do you have?
We mix our own.
But
she said, like, we have mix, but we mix our own. She goes,
well, just a splash then.
So gross.
Yeah.
And then he tries to outgross her, and he's like, well, here's how I like my drink. I like reposada. So, like, gringo.
Reposada.
I want some reposada to come out and smack his ass.
A little bit of fresh lime. Not Limehouse. We don't want Liza Limehouse in there. We don't need any Limehouse properties.
I don't want to shot a loser on my reposada.
I mean, I'll take a taste of Limehouse, if you know what I mean, but don't need it in my reposada.
Top it with a little bit of Grand Marnier and no salt. And she leaves. And then he goes, I say exactly how I want my margarita. And she goes,
me too.
It's like she's always trying to yodel. I don't know. It's like she's talk yodeling. It makes me fucking crazy.
I think
like she's listened to too much Adele, you know?
It's like she's trying to, like, turn over some sort of, like, high-pitched car.
The rumor has been,
I feel bad for anyone who tunes into the podcast at this exact moment. Like, oh, I heard Watch Your Crap is a really good podcast about Bravo. Let me listen. It's all up. Yes, being like... Like, what the fuck? It's like, you know that song by the Lumineers that's like, Ophelia? It's like, Ophelia. There's like a part in that song where, like, it's in the beginning where it's like, oh, da-da-da, oh, da-da-da. And then he goes, and ah, he makes this like really weird note. And sometimes if you, I've had times when I've switched to a radio station, just as he's hitting that note and you're like, what the fuck is this? How is this on the radio? It's like, ah. And Rihanna does that too. Rihanna also has a few moments. Sometimes you'll turn on to a Rihanna song. Just she's going, like, what is this goat? Greatest of all
time.
It's
like when we used to always do the Erica Jane.
Something like that, right?
So funny.
I'd play it if I could, if I knew where it was on my little playlist. My playlist has gotten so big with different different sound clips that we've
that Erica one never gets old to me.
It's classic. I don't know where it is.
So this is so awkward. So he's like, well, Landon, I sure do like your jacket. She's like, oh, I got it in L.A. So he tells, she's like, what happened last night? And he says, every girl I talked to was bored. And, you know, at some point, what happens above the neck matters. And she's like, well, that was a lesson. You got to focus on what's important. You know, you just can't go out on the weekends to score. You need more.
Like, is she Rome worthy?
My dad said I should settle down and get married in my 20s, and I should have listened to him. Like, or maybe in your 50s when you knock the bitch up.
Or maybe go for someone age appropriate. Maybe that's one of your problems. Maybe you don't have baggage. Maybe you're just dating too many decades below you.
Yeah, maybe it would have made sense to settle down with a teenager when I was 20.
You know what they say? I keep getting old, and the girls, they stay the same age. And
little Matthew McConaughey. He would. That is so Thomas. And she's like, well, it's never too late. And he's like, what are you looking for? And she's basically like, a wallet. And then she's like, can you believe Drew hasn't even been to New York City? Landon.
Drew, more like stupid.
He's not the type of man to read the Wall Street Journal every day, is he?
I read it every day. At least the banner on it, and then I'll just use it to line Kinsey's crate. I mean, is that what you call it? A crate? A crib?
Here's how I imagine myself in 4 years. My nut will finally touch my knee, and I'll know. It's time to plant this tree.
If it's you, Guys and Dolls. You ever hear that? It's a musical about guys like me and dolls like you. What do you say?
A person can develop a cold.
He's like, yeah, I've heard that before.
You know what? Every time I get on a boat, I'm like, sit down, sit down, sit down. You're rocking the boat. Am I right, Landon? I'm seasick.
She goes, he says, well, this has been lovely. We've had some really deep conversation. Like, yeah.
Like when I found out that you like a clear tequila and your margarita, that made me realize we have so many things to get. I mean, we are so OC.
His vows. When I first heard you boss that waitress around about the clear tequila that you preferred, I knew you and me were OC and meant to be.
When I went on that date with you in the middle of that swamp, we ordered some Reposado. I remember thinking to myself, we don't need to drain the swamp. We need to drain my penis right now. Let's get on this table, huh?
That's so romantic.
So the next scene is the last scene, and it's Craig
Gizmo. Not many people know this, but like I'm really into like rom-coms. That's sort of why I got into Nomi, because her name sort of is spelled like Rom, like Nom, Nami, Rami-com. See what I'm saying? Get it?
Nami-com.
I really like a Nom-com. It's like when you eat and talk to Nami. So like,
it's like a romantic comedy that takes place in Vietnam, which I would have fought in, but it was like a long time ago.
Yeah, like I would watch Good Morning Vietnam, but like I'm more of a night person, so. I'm gonna make dinner for Nami.
Because that's his laughing. Rom-com. Yeah, Craig's idea of a rom-com is cooking a gigantic steak, carrying it over to her parents' house because they have a nice deck, leaving it there for half an hour.
Yeah.
And coming over and being like, hey, I got a surprise for you. Cold steak by your mom's pool. Wow.
It actually reminds me of my fraternity days. There's a guy in my fraternity named Eric, and he was into this girl named Liz, who later became a lesbian. And so we had this like tiny little roof deck on our fraternity house, like all the way up. It was like three stories high. Tiny little thing. You had to like climb up like a little ladder. And he set up a whole table on this on their little date. And he set up a little table and like candles and plates. And he cooked all this food. And they went up there to have their little date. And she's sitting there. And, you know, she was like sort of tolerating this thing. And we're all downstairs. There was like a deck out front on the fraternity house. And we could like sit there. And it was like 10 of us sitting and watching the two of them on their date, which was awkward enough. But then, like, a full-on tornado came through, and they're sitting there. The sky is green, and she's sitting there, like, perfectly poised, hands clasped. And the tablecloth is just, like, flapping away, and you can see it's, like, truly the date from hell. So when I saw this, it just reminded me so much of Eric's date on top of the fraternity house. All that was missing was a tornado.
I mean, I am impressed that he actually cooked things and then took it over to their house instead of just going through their freezer, because... You know, I was thinking that's what he was doing, but he didn't.
Yeah. And
he literally says this on the way after he talks about how he's like a rom-com guy. He goes, I'm a good catch. Like, I'm a good guy. I'm faithful. I know how to do lots of random things. I just hope she feels as lucky as I think she should.
I mean, I could do a lot of random things, like, you know, like search for jobs and... think about jobs and sew things that would remind me about jobs. I mean, I don't actually do jobs, but I could do a lot of random things about jobs.
Today, I objected to a hoe that was trying to argue with the baby outfit I was selling or sewing in the kitchen while I was like having real estate tenants call me. Like everything. I do everything.
I do everything. Like today I put like a paper towel on Gizmo's head and pretended he was a barrister from London, and we had like a whole conversation about how like law is different in England versus in South Carolina. It was like really informative, you know?
When I told him I passed the bar, Gizmo didn't like take me to a t-ball place and like give me shit about it. He just accepted me.
Yeah.
Thanks, Giz.
I mean, I don't know why it's such a big deal. I pass bars like every single day. You just drive down Main Street, there's like five bars there. Like, we all pass the bar. Like, so why am I the one who's being held to a standard?
So this becomes
We should mention there actually was two significant pieces of Southern Charm news, which is that Cameron is pregnant with a girl, and Craig actually passed the bar, according to social media.
Oh, and third, Catherine lost custody of her kids again.
Oh, God.
Because she
really?
Tested positive for drugs. But then I read the article, and she tested positive for marijuana. Now, look, I'm not just standing up for her because I smoke my marijuana. It's legal where I am, okay? I have depression. But, I mean, that is kind of a lame thing. But then again, Catherine, Jesus Christ, your kids are in, like, you're in danger of losing them again. You never even got them back in the first place. And a joint is more important than getting your goddamn kids back, you fucking moron. Yeah, and seriously. I'm not on your side anymore either. You better be nice to that Jen girl and apologize to her, because you lost me. And I'm a hardcore bitch. I would have been on your side forever.
Yeah, exactly. You
still stick up for Phaedra, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. Yeah, you would have had Ronnie on your side. You would have had Ronnie.
Yeah, you guys. I just want you to know how lucky you are to have me. Thank you, Craig, for giving me the guts to say it finally.
I just hope Catherine feels as lucky as I think she should for having Ronnie in her corner. So Naomi,
you said something nice about Thomas's jeans. I'll never talk to you again. Thomas! Stop!
So Naomi comes home and he's like, I got a surprise for you. I got a new step and release. She's like, Craig. And he's like, we're going to go somewhere. We're just going to walk this way. She's like, are we going to my parents' house? I plead the fifth. That's law term. Sorry, I took the bar.
You have the right to remain silent. Objection. So basically this turns into a fight because first it's, oh, thank you so much for making dinner for me. And she goes, well, yeah, thanks. This was great. You know, I was talking to Cam the other day, and she mentioned that she's looking for houses for you. And he goes, yeah, I want to buy a house by the end of the week. She goes, Craig, no, you can't do that. And he's like,
it's not like a shirt from H&M.
Yeah, she's like, you can't. She goes, you can't expect to do 5,000 things and then do them all well. And he's like, you've never seen me not do things. Okay.
Listen, you know what they say? You reap what you sow. And like, I've been really sowing a lot, so I think I'm gonna
also
reap a lot
reaping.
Of things.
Yeah, I've also been reaping a lot.
Yeah, I reap. I you know, like I've been reaping like these really big books, and I've been learning a lot of new concepts from them. Craig, you put the D upside down again. It's read, not reap. Oh,
don't make me weed you, Naomi. Read me, Craig. Yeah, that too. I can read like a motherfucker. So he's basically fighting that he can't do a million things. And she's like, no, you can't. You can't get a diploma, get the, you know, pass the bar, renovate fixer uppers, and have a clothing line. Cause then he pops the clothing line thing on her. He's like, also, I'm going to have a clothing line, possibly in this new house. Not sure yet.
I'm going to call it Gentry Bourbon. Do you know what bourbon is? Because I'm still trying to figure. I think it's clothing. So, like, I think I'm just gonna take. I think JD9 just gonna make some like clothing out of bourbon.
So she's pissed, and she lectures him, and he's like, "Look, I'm only 28 years old." And she starts laughing because that's like not really young.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Okay, do you want to be a lawyer or not? Just say it." And he goes, "Well, if you don't grasp it," she goes, "Do you want to or not?" And he goes, "If I want to be a special agent in the FBI," and she's like, "Craig," because you don't understand my answer. If I want to find illegal aliens and gently put them in a truck and take them back over the border, she's like, "Craig."
Listen, Naomi, I just want to like work with that Indian girl in Quantico and like try to just clear her name. That's all. Like, I think it's like really important.
So she's like, "Craig, focus, just focus." And he goes, "You're being silly and ignorant, and you're being kind of dumb right now."
She's like, "You're the one talking in circles, Craig. And that was really insulting. So you need to apologize. You need to take that back." He's like, what do I have to take back to the house? You want seconds? Is that what you want?"
She goes, "You don't get to talk to me like that." And I was like, there we go. Thank God. I mean, thank God Naomi is not only adorable and sweet, but also sticking up.
Really like Naomi a lot.
I do, too. She's too good for this show. Please don't make her horrible show, please.
Yeah.
Although I think the show has actually made Craig like sweeter. I mean, I've always not kind doing, of liked Craig. But.
Well, because he hasn't had any opportunities to be totally pretentious. He's just building flower boxes and sewing shit at home and feeding Gizmo. So how could you not look good by doing that?
And he's trying, you know, I know that he's doing a million things and he has no focus, but at least he's fucking doing something, which is more than I can say for most of the men on this show. Well, don't do shit.
Yeah.
Like, at least he irons.
Yeah.
You know? Like, at least he's trying to learn how to sew. I mean, maybe that'll come in handy one day. I don't know. At least he's making an effort to do fucking something.
See, so, this is why people should have more cats. Because ever since he got Gizmo, it's just turned his image around.
It's all the cat.
Yeah.
And also the girl. You need to have a really nice, sensible girlfriend to talk some sense into you. So, basically, she makes him apologize. And he's like, "I didn't say you were dumb. I said you were acting dumb." She's like, "Damn it, Craig!" And that's pretty much the end of this.
Yeah, she's like, "Love that episode." Same thing. So, fun times had by all.
Yes.
Everyone, thank you so much for listening. Be sure to support our sponsor and live show. Come check out our live show, and we will talk to y'all tomorrow. For some Below Deck Mediterranean.
Boy, everybody.
Bye.